Timberwolves back in action tonight. Phoenix Suns in town at Target Center. We'll have that game for you right here on Kate Radio. 6:30, your pregame with this guy, Cal Soderquist with the Timberwolves Radio Network on a Wolves Wednesday joins us. And Cal, a good afternoon. How you doing today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Aaron. I'm doing good. Hoping that, you know, this rainy, gloomy weather here in the Twin Cities maybe sets the stage for a fun one tonight at the Target Center.
Well, let's look back at the T-Wolves. And I guess, to me, one of the most, I don't want to call it the most alarming thing, but let's go back to a Monday night. Just a couple of nights ago, we know the team, a split against the Bucks, a loss on Friday. They got a win on Saturday against the Houston Rockets. Rudy Gobert has been out for the last couple of games. Sounds like he's going to be back in the lineup tonight. The Knicks game. That was a game that got away from the Timberwolves very early. The Knicks came out, and they were shooting a lights out from three-point range. And it was the one game this season. No, I take that back. This has been the second game this season. San Antonio was up big at Target Center earlier this year, where we just didn't even seem like we were in the game. Kind of lackluster throughout the contest on Monday. Did you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, they just got blitzed early. And I think, you know, it's kind of like a boxer that takes a couple combinations from their opponent very early in round one or two, and then you can never really recover. Or by the time you kind of steady yourself and try to climb back into the game, you've spotted your opponent such a lead that it's really an impossible task. And I think that's kind of how it unfolded on Monday. And you're right to compare it, I think, to that first Spurs game, where the Wolves just kind of lacked some of the necessary, you know, items or elements that you need just every single night. That they should be there in terms of effort and the proper sort of mentality or intensity to start the game. You know, when Julius Randle is not, people aren't going to confuse him with Steph Curry or any of the other, you know, elite three-point shooters in the league, or even he probably wasn't at the top of the Knicks scouting report in terms of not letting him catch fire. But he hit 5 threes in that first quarter alone. The Knicks as a team went 10 of 19 from that first frame. They came up just short of a 40-point quarter. And by the time halftime came around, the Wolves were down 24. So, you know, anything can happen in the NBA in terms of leads, especially, you know, a team like the Wolves that certainly does have offensive firepower. But when you spot an opponent a 24-point lead through the first two quarters, it's just really, really tough to kind of erase that deficit with only a half to play. And I think the Wolves found that out. I think, I know it was Chris Finch. I think it was after that Spurs game when he said something to the effect of, they punked us. You know, they just came out. They were better than us in every category. And that's kind of the same way that Knicks game unfolded, where the Wolves did not have the effort. You know, they did not take care of the basketball. They had 12 turnovers in that first half that the Knicks got 25 points off of. That the advantage in that points off turnovers category through two quarters was 25-0. So it just kind of helps paint the picture of the Wolves just not being on the same level as the Knicks for whatever reason. You know, this isn't a Knicks team that's going to compete for an Eastern Conference title or anything like that. So it's another one of those head-scratching, unsettling, you know, troubling, however you want to describe it. It was a bad loss for sure.
Now, Cal, yeah, you brought out how they came out with, I think, more energy and really took it to us. And that's one thing that I think we've been missing pretty much all season. And you can say it goes back to not having those energy guys like a Patrick Beverley and Jared Vanderbilt. But it really showed the other night, we don't have that guy that's going to come out there and really get in his teammates' faces and go, hey, we got to get things going. And I'm kind of concerned that maybe there are things that we're not hearing about off the court, maybe in the locker room. Did you think there's maybe some internal problems that we're just not hearing about, or is this just all part of the gelling process that maybe we have to be even more patient than we thought we were going to have to be from the get-go?
I think it's probably too soon to think that there's stuff going on behind the scenes. You know, from every opportunity we get to talk to this team, or when we get let into practice to watch the final few minutes, things like that, you know, they say all the right things and do all the right things. They've said, you know, that they've had good crisp practices. They've had shoot-arounds where they highlight the correct things. And even they've had honest film sessions recently where, you know, guys are pointing out, we need to do this better, or here's an example of needing to make the extra pass. Things like that that do get pointed out in film sessions, and guys are receptive to it. Everyone kind of checks their ego at the door, but I just think, you know, guys might still be, they might be searching a little bit for that right balance in terms of, yes, they are still learning new teammates and learning a new offense. And then sometimes when you're doing too much thinking on the floor, it can lead to more turnovers or not as much effort or not as consistent of effort as you need. So I think it all kind of mixes together. Yes, guys like Jared Vanderbilt and Pat Beverly are gone, but you know, those guys, you have to just find the energy elsewhere. And I think it's something that every player can bring. So it's not like you just look to one or two guys to be kind of that spark plug. And, you know, I think it's certainly, there have been some alarming things, but we do have to remind ourselves that we're only 11 games into this season. There's still a lot of ways to go. And I think it's just a matter of, they've got to recognize that they just need to bring more. And I think, you know, they've said all the right things. Like I said, head coach Chris Finch had he brought something up yesterday when asked to compare this team and this roster to last year's team, that I think I brought it up, but they started 4-9 last year, I think it was. So they really were searching for things too through the first dozen plus games. And what Chris Finch said was, that was interesting. Last year's team was right out of the gate seeking to prove to everyone that they were a playoff team. You know, there wasn't a lot of buzz around them entering the season, so they kind of had that chip on their shoulder. Whereas this year's team probably, you know, did a lot of reading of their own press clippings. That's a dated phrase. There aren't even press clippings anymore, but they probably heard a lot of the headlines and read a lot about what people projected for them and that sort of thing. And sometimes that can creep its way into your mind and your mindset and the way you kind of go about business in the game. And you add that to the fact that they didn't actually have a lot of time to gel together in training camp and kind of prepare and do those things. And I think we've got sort of a perfect storm of this 5-6 start.
Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network. You're on a Wolves Wednesday. And I saw a stat the other day, which I guess it gives me a positive hope when it comes to things working out, when it comes to, I should say, the gelling process, getting used to a Rudy Gobert and finding out the best role for him and for everybody when he's on the floor. I saw with Rudy Gobert, we have one of the best defensive teams, but then we're bad on offense. Without Rudy Gobert, we're one of the best offensive teams, but then we're not very good on defense. So we know he can score. We know he can play D. So the positive thing is, if we can find a way to put this together, this is going to be, hopefully, cross our fingers, a pretty good basketball team by, you know, by midseason and beyond.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to, you just find a balance somewhere in the middle. And yeah, you know, the team played well in that win over the Rockets with Rudy sitting out in the protocols. But then pretty quickly, we realized that it's more of a hot take to suggest that this team is better overall with Rudy off the floor, because they looked pretty bad defensively and even offensively in that loss to the Knicks. So I think it's a matter of figuring out offensively when he's out there, figuring out floor spacing, you know, figuring out when to get Rudy touches, or when are we maybe forcing touches to Rudy too much, that sort of thing. There's a balance to be had there. Karl Anthony Towns has done a great job of trying to find Rudy as often as he can on the offensive side, but at times maybe that's forcing it a little too much. And even in those last two games that Rudy missed, and I spoke at length about some of the offensive things they allowed the Knicks to do, the Wolves are still a top 10 team in terms of their defensive rating. They're ninth currently right now. So when you get Rudy back, you can expect that to even creep back up into that top 7 or top 8. And I think offense too, the reason, you know, the team certainly hasn't suggested they're reaching for the panic button or scrapping things and implementing new systems or schemes, I think they know that guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards will not struggle to to shoot the ball for much longer, at least to the effect that they have so far this season. You know, those guys are both well below their career shooting numbers. Cat has even said that he's not worried. D'Lo, I think, is in a slump right now and sometimes just forcing it and searching a little bit. So all of that, I think, is something that, you know, if you've watched these guys long enough, you know the shooters that they are and the offensive skill set they have. It's just a matter of figuring things out with Rudy out there and kind of continuing to buy into, you know, the ball movement and needing that more so than guys trying to go ISO, and probably we'll start to see some results soon.
Timberwolves are 5-6 in Ocala this week. It does not get easy at all. They got the Phoenix Suns in town tonight. A rematch of last year's Western Conference quarterfinals on the road against the Grizzlies on Friday. And then the new-look Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell on the road coming up on Sunday. Three tough teams coming up this week, and it's a measuring stick again for a Minnesota because we have not played the best against the teams that I think should be on the lower half eventually of the NBA standings, like the San Antonios of the world and the New York Knicks. They might be a playoff team, but probably lower in the Eastern Conference standings. This is a tough stretch of games. I mean, these next three games, you could easily, you know, drop the next three and go to 5-9 in the season. And then there's definitely going to be some finger pointing if that happens.
Yeah, I think it's maybe in a sense a good time to have these matchups because, you know, you can play the Houston Rockets and you can not even play necessarily the right way or do all of the concepts and elements of the game plan that the coaching staff wanted. And you can probably still skate by with a win just on the sheer talent advantage you have in some of those matchups. But if you want to beat the Phoenix Suns or the Grizzlies or the Cavs, or even play competitive basketball against them, you know, there's not necessarily shame in losing a tight game to these teams. But if you want to play well and have a chance to win, you're going to have to play the right way. And I think that's what makes these matchups kind of the perfect opportunity for Minnesota to, you know, if they continue to say the right things and say that they need more ball movement or need to take care of the basketball better or be committed to concepts, defensively, all of what we've heard after the film sessions and after practices, they'll need to be, you know, at peak performance and really committed to those game plans in these tough matchups. And you could even look back at last week's matchup with the Suns in Phoenix, where the Wolves did hang tough and they got, I think, as close as two in that fourth quarter before they lost. And so they could take some things from the way they played in that rally. And certainly the Suns look a little different with no Cam Johnson out there tonight. He had a big game in that win over the Wolves last week. He led all scorers with 29 points and 7 of 11 from three. He's out with a meniscus injury. But it's just things like that. You know, if you look at some of these losses, and almost every loss, there's been a Julius Randle or a Cam Johnson or someone who just had too many open looks. And in the NBA, 95% of these guys will hit open looks if you're not contesting those shots. Like, whether they're a forward or a sharpshooter or anything in between, these guys are all that good. So I think the Wolves are learning that, you know, you got to be flying around on defense and contesting shots, and getting Rudy Gobert back and anchoring things inside will certainly help that. Guys won't have to help off of their primary assignments on the perimeter with Rudy in there to clean things up inside. So I think right away tonight you'll see a little bit better perimeter defense, and maybe it all kind of feeds into each other and allows them to play a more complete game.
Suns are 7-3, Timberwolves 5-6, Grizzlies coming up this weekend 7-4, and then we mentioned the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right now they're one of the top teams in the East at 8-2, the next three games for our T-Wolves. Now, Rudy Gobert's been out the last couple of games. Has it been illness-related, and is he expected back tonight?
Yeah, he played in that game Friday against the Bucks. Both he and Anthony Edwards actually were questionable entering that game with illness. And then right away they were back in action Saturday, but they did not have Rudy. He entered the league health and safety protocols. So that essentially, that's the result of a positive test. And he had to be away from the team, of course. The protocols have changed quite a bit from what we were used to last year, or even, you know, during that restart when fans weren't in arenas. It's a little more easy to work your way out, obviously, as you see from Rudy entering Saturday and already good to go and back in the lineup tonight. And head coach Chris Finch joked, it's not very simple. It's kind of like the tax code is what he said in terms of how the protocols change based on day zero of a test or 1 day removed, 2 days removed, et cetera. But yeah, Rudy was, he went through practice fully yesterday. He said he was feeling good and even felt mostly good during his time away. But it's just kind of the reality they deal with right now. If a guy is having symptoms and takes the test, then he's got to stay away for a couple of days until he can, put forward, I guess, or submit a negative test in X amount of opportunities. So he's back, and it should allow them, you know, I don't expect him to be on any sort of a minutes restriction or anything like that. He said he's feeling good.
All the action tonight from downtown Minneapolis at Target Center, Phoenix and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Cal Soderquist with the T-Wolves Radio Network joins us every Wednesday for a Wolves Wednesday. He'll have the pregame tonight at 6:30 and the voice of the Timberwolves, Al Horton, with your tip-off just after 7. Cal, let's hope that they can take a couple in this three-game stretch. Again, the Suns, the Grizzlies, and the Cavaliers on tap, and they get the Orlando Magic coming up a week from tonight. We'll talk with Cal next Wednesday. Cal, like always, thank you so much for the time. Have a good week, and go Wolves.
You got it. Yeah, sounds great to me. Thanks, Aaron. Let's get a couple W's.